Two German pilots from the African base were sitting in front of a fire, drinking something. The third pilot was upstairs flying patrol. The rumble of the motors faint due to his extreme altitude. Johnny told them, in Cyclo, they should relax and enjoy themselves, and they just looked at him respectfully. Johnny knew they had completely different orders. Two on alert for scramble, sleeping in their planes with the radio on, one ship always in the air. Johnny realized all this good cheer and festivity in the air was dulling his awareness of the facts of today. They were at war with some powerful forces. The colonel led him to a small knoll and with an expansive hand showed him how great this country was. There was wild cotton, enough to clothe thousands. There was wild wheat and wild oats and herds of sheep and cattle enough to feed hundreds of thousands. Those ruins way over there had been a city full of factories, and although the machines didn't work with existing motors, Tom Smiley thought he could get some looms running, which made Johnny wonder whether they didn't have another Angus on their hands in Tom Smiley. Did Johnny know there was a tomb over to the southeast, way over where the Emperor of the World was buried? A Mongol named Timur E. Leng. Nearly 2,000 years ago, he had ruled the whole world. It was a fact. He would have to take Johnny over there and show him the tomb. It said so right on it. Johnny had heard quite enough about Hitlers and Napoleons and such. He had often wondered whether, if such vermin had not been so intent on personally ruling the world, man might have had the cultural advancement to repel the Cyclo invasion. He had heard some theory that it required war to invent technology, and he thought that must be a Cyclo maxim. But he didn't tell Colonel Ivan that. He admired the truly beautiful view. The base? The colonel responded to Johnny's question. It was up there, not very far away from here. He'd give him a whole tour tomorrow. As they started down, a big, jolly-looking Scot and two aides met them. It was Sir Andrew McNulty, the head of the Federation and chief of all the coordinators. He had gotten the word Johnny was here and had just flown in. He had a pleasing manner and cheery laugh, very admired by his extensive and busy corps of coordinators. Johnny was very glad to see him, for the business he was here for involved the movement of tribes. He complimented Sir Andrew on the magnificent work the coordinators were doing, and Sir Andrew thanked him for saving the lives of that pair in Africa. Johnny knew he could get along with this man. Good. About sunset, the party was ready, and the big square box constellation in the sky was well down before it finished. Dances and music and more dances. Spanish dances. The dance of the bear hunt from Siberia. Wild leaping dances from the Caucasus. Firelight and laughter. Good food and drink. Since it seemed everyone had to clink a cup with Johnny, and since he had never done much drinking, he had quite a head the next morning when the colonel, all bustling efficiency, broke him out.